I got a call today about 2 o'clock this afternoon from Pastor Mark, and that Pastor Bill can't make it tonight. And so when Pastor Mark called me, you know, he knows I teach Bible studies and home studies and new believer studies, and sometimes I fill in with a pastor, so I have on my computer lots of studies I can kind of recycle. I do that, but you know, when he called me, I kind of felt from the Lord, I was thinking over a scripture that Mark gave this morning and kind of just stuck in me, and I felt the Lord wanted me to use that to come out with the study, and so that's what I did tonight. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. And this is when Moses had led the people out of captivity from Egypt through the wilderness, and now they're at Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord there. And the Lord is speaking to Moses. You know, he's meeting with Moses, and Moses is hearing from the Lord, and he's going and telling the people, this is what the Lord says, all these things that the Lord wants them to do. And so in verse 5 of Exodus 19, it says, now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you and believe you forever. So Moses told the word of the Lord to the people. And so that last part is what we're going to go on. See, he brings the people there and says, I want you to obey these, my word, and I want you to make a covenant with you. And if you do these things, you'll be my special treasure and a holy people and a nation of priests to me. You know, that's what God's purpose was in making Israel the nation. They were supposed to proclaim the Lord's name throughout the earth, the nation of priests. But instead, what happened is they profaned God's name throughout the earth. And so then in stepped the Gentiles, us, and God came to us. We would listen to the people who weren't called. And now we get to be God's special treasure. But the part we're going to focus on is after the people said, okay, we'll do that. We'll do what the Lord says. We'll do that. And the Lord says, that's great. Well, now I want to talk to them, people. You know, I want them to hear my voice. Apparently, up until all this time when God was speaking to Moses, the people weren't hearing the Lord. They were just standing back, way back a ways. You know, Moses would go up on the mountain and he'd come back, this is what God says. And they said, okay, that sounds good. And now the Lord says, I'm going to speak to them and they're going to hear my voice. And part of the reason is so that they'll know that I'm talking to Moses. But I think the other part is that God wants to speak to each and every one of us. God wants us to hear him. When we become saved, we said, Lord, okay, I'm saved. I accept your salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. The first step really is God is saying, okay, now I want you to listen because I want to talk to you. And you know, if you go on in the story here in Exodus, it didn't turn out too well. You know, God came, and it was, you know, they heard trumpets and the mountain shook and trembled and everybody, you know, first it was like a party, hey, the Lord's coming to talk to us, it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, you know, you hear trumpets and the mountain shaking and trembling and quake and flashes of lightning coming out. And I can picture all the people just getting down on the, you know, on the ground, ooh, you know. And later they told Moses, okay, that's great. Don't tell the Lord not to talk to us anymore at all. You know, let him talk to you. That's just too scary for us, too stressful. But the Lord wants to talk to you, and he says it throughout his word. Let's look at another scripture here that proclaims that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The Lord wants to come and reason with you. Come, come now. Let's you and I get together and talk. Let's reason together. You know, I'm going to wash away all your sins, but let's reason together so you will know what I want you to know. And you'll go and do what I want you to do. And the plans that I have for your life, you'll know about them and be doing them, kind of thing. He wants you to know those things. Not everything all at once. The Bible says he has many things to say to us, but we can't handle a lot of them right now. At certain points in our walk, and maybe when we get older. So how does the Lord speak to us today? You know, are we supposed to go to some mountain, you know, and it's supposed to shake and tremble, or, you know, and stuff? Really, there's mainly God speak to us through his word today. That's one of the main things. He speaks to us through his word. And you might come to a scripture that somehow jumps out at you and has special significance, you know, or it might be an answer that you're looking for. But that's not the only way. Sometimes it can be a person coming to you, speaking to you, and it can be God behind them. Or it could be a thing. It could just be an object. And say, oh, that speaks to me. You know, maybe that's God, kind of thing. And so we're going to talk about hearing the word of God and some of the things, and I'm going to be using examples in my own life from a young Christian to older, and things that happened to me that I know that God spoke to me about things. And but like I said, we have to be careful about things when we think it's God talking to us. For example, this happened really one time. I was giving a guy who used to come to my Bible study a long time ago, home study. He was new to God and stuff, and he didn't have a car. And he, I have to drive him home after the study, and I didn't mind doing that. That was fine. But he was frustrated. You know, he'd taken the bus or walking or riding a bike and stuff, and he was real frustrated. And he goes, "You know what? I think God wants me to have a car." And I said, "You know, you could be right. Maybe God does want you to have a car. I don't know that, but maybe he does." And he goes, "No, I'm sure God wants me to have a car." And I go, "Well, then you're going to get a car then. If you really feel God wants you, you're going to get a car. If God spoke to you, you're going to have a car." And he goes, "Not only God's wanting me to have a car, he told me to go out and steal it." I'm like, whoa, no. I'm pretty sure that's not happening, you know. And so let's look at this other scripture, which is a good warning against that. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. In the back of the Bible here. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You have to test sometimes the word you're getting or what somebody else is saying. This is a word from God. You see if it really is for God. One of the best rules right there is God will never go against his word. If you can compare it to scripture, you know, and said, well, this guy says, God is telling me to do this. Is that scripturally sound? You know, like this guy, it's obvious. He said, God wants me to go out and steal a car. And he said, no, God doesn't want us to go out and steal. That's a sin. You know, he's coveting your neighbor's stuff. You know, that's even in the Ten Commandments thing. And he's totally off track there. And sometimes it can be a lot more subtle kind of thing. And sometimes it's just blatantly obvious. Another time, I was at a car dealership, and I was looking maybe into buying a truck. And you know how, you know, the salesmen are, they're pitching their product, and you know, and they want you to get you in the office, and they want you to sign the paperwork, and he's got me in the office, and he's, you know, pitching this, and what payment I can make, and blah, blah, and he wants me, and I just said, well, you know what, I need to come back tomorrow, you know? And he goes, well, no, you can do this and that, blah, blah, you know, he wants me to sign now. And I said, no, I have to come back tomorrow. And he goes, why? Why do you need to come back tomorrow that you can't do it today? You know, it's gonna be the same payment, everything, you know? I go, because I told him flat out, I need to go home and pray and find out if God wants me to do this. I don't know if God wants me to buy this truck. And he looked at me and he said, well, I believe God wants you to buy this truck. You sign the paper. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. No way, you know? That's just wrong, you know? And there's a couple of things I can think right off the top of my head. And we'll look at those scriptures there. Because it can be scripturally sound too, but that's obvious too. Oh man, this guy, that's not the word of God. But let's turn to Acts chapter 19. Chapter 8, verse 19. Acts chapter 8, verse 19, it's about a guy named Simon. And this is with Peter and John. And it says, in verse 19, he's saying, Simon is saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. So he thought, you know, they were laying hands and people were receiving the Holy Spirit and people were being healed and stuff. And he said, well, give me this power. You know, I'll pay you for this power. You know, so I can go and lay hands on people and maybe see the Holy Spirit be healed and stuff. But he didn't want to go around and give people the Holy Spirit and heal people. He wanted to go get rich, you know? He said, well, I can use some of that Holy Spirit and get rich, you know? This is a new way. And they say, hey, your money perish with you. And you have to be careful, particularly careful about hearing the word of God when it comes to about money. You know, especially when there's other people involved, because money has a way of twisting people in knots and twisting people and greed and things and stuff. That's not right, kind of way. Doing the wrong kind of thing. And it's even hurt churches and pastors and stuff when they get into money kind of thing. I had a sister one time come to me. I was teaching a Bible study at a work, a place I used to work. And she came to me and she was a single mom with some kids. And she was new, she got saved through the study thing. A lot of people were coming And she started going back to a church near her, and she'd been going there for like about, I think, 6 months. And so she didn't have a lot of money because she was single and supporting the kids. She came to me and asked me, and she said, well, Mike, what do you think about tithing and stuff? And I told her what I felt, that tithing is really between you and God, you know? You know, some people say you're supposed to give 10%, but it's really personal thing between you and God, what you give. Some people give more, some people give less, but it's between you and God. It's not between me, you, and God, with the pastor, you and God. She goes, well, my pastor came to me, and he said, you're not really giving 10%. And she tried to explain to him, I'm a single mom, you know, I'm barely making ends meet, and I'm giving what I can, but that's all I can afford. And he said, well, then you know what you need to do? And she said, what? You know, maybe she was going to give some words of wisdom or something. But you need to get a second job so that you give 10%. And I was like, what? What? He told you that? I go, man, get away from that place. You know, because that guy, you're not hearing the word of God from that guy. It just, many things just twist people up sometimes. You know, and so you have to be real careful about that. And what people are telling you God is saying, even if it's a pastor or an angel of light, you're supposed to care, you know, look at it with scripture. Is that what God wants to do? Is lay burdens on me, work 2 or 3 jobs so I can pay, you know, the church or whatever, you know, kind of thing. It's just not right. Let's look at another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is means of gain, from which such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. See, some people, you say, well, you know, godliness is a means to get rich, kind of thing. And some people preach that. They say, well, God wants you to be rich. He doesn't want you to be poor. He wants you to be rich. He wants you to have to. You know, if you bring in your money, God will restore it to you 1,000-fold. You know what that does? Say, well, oh, gee, if I put in $100, you know, I'm going to get 10,000 back. Well, that sounds like a deal. You know, I'll go give her $100 right now so I can get 10,000. It appeals to people's greed. I can make money off of God. That's what God is about. What God is about is godliness, is contentment. That's the great gain. Now, godliness with contentment. I'm content with whatever little or surplus I have at that time. I learned to be content. That's what Paul was saying in the Bible about money, kind of dealings and stuff. And you have to hear that from God from time to time. Sometimes life is hard and economics go down, and you have to cut out things out of your budget and live lower and lower on your means, but you can still be happy. You can still be happy in Jesus, you know? And it's sad that most people don't realize how much they have until it's taken away, kind of thing. It's just sad, the excess that people have and the blessings, and they're just wasted away, kind of thing. But we need to have patience in hearing God, too. That's one of the keys in hearing God, is to be patient. If you really want something, or you're praying about something, or praying for an answer, you know, it's not like, okay, you know, it's been 5 minutes now and I haven't heard anything, kind of thing. I had a person tell me one time, they asked God for something, and I said, well, did you get an answer? And they said, yeah. And so I wanted to go and do this, and I got my answer, so I went and did it. So I said, well, God said yes. And he says, no, I never heard anything, so that must have been God telling me to go ahead and do that. You know, because he didn't say anything. That's not an answer. That's just you. Let's look at Psalms 25 in verse 3. Psalms 25 and verse 3. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. On you I wait all day. Is it just a day? Does that mean I'm just going to wait for today for an answer? No. It means you're going to wait sometimes for a long time. Sometimes for a very long time. You know, it's always up to God to do it. You know, I used to have older Bible. My son has it now, and I have these prayers when I was younger. Because somebody said, oh, God doesn't answer prayer. And I said, I'm going to prove him wrong. And I took one of the blank pages in the back and I divided it in half. And I put down dates, important prayers to me. I put the date I prayed. And on the other side, I said, this is the answer. You know? And the and I said, I'm going to fill all those prayers in. There's one day I'm going to get an answer. And I'm not going to forget because I wrote those prayers down. And every one of those prayers were answered. And the longest one I had to wait for was 7 years. 7 years before I got an answer from God. You know, that was a long time. But he answered every one of them. You know, he did. But that's what waiting on God. And some of them are real important, need to be answered now. And some, you know, could have waited. The one that I waited 7 years is that I was single at the time, and I asked God, Lord, could you give me a wife? I don't know. I can remain single if you want me to, but I think it would be better for me if I had a wife. And from that date, I did, 7 years until I met my wife, you know, and got married. And so that answer took 7 years before God did it. And I was waiting the whole time and waiting on the Lord and still praying and wondering, well, what's God going to do? You know, he's going to do his own thing. You know, I'll tell you something. Also, this is about hearing from God, is that I when I was younger, I was dating women and stuff, and it wasn't working out because I wasn't dating Christian. And then, I got more involved in church and said, well, now I'm dating Christian. And that wasn't working out very good either. You know, I wasn't picking very good people to date or whatever, I don't know. But I got frustrated. And so I just said, Lord, I'm just no good at this. I just give it up to you. That's when I prayed, Lord, can you give me a wife? If you want me to have a wife, then you pick her. I'm done picking. I'm not going to go and ask anybody out anymore or anything. I'm just going to try to serve you or whatever. And so I didn't ask anybody out anymore, date and stuff. And my wife, I met her the first time on an adult retreat. And we had talked briefly, but alarm bells or fireworks didn't go off or nothing, you know. I was busy. I was helping out with the retreat. I was doing worship then and all this stuff. And so I just briefly met her and stuff. And then about 3 or 4 months after the retreat, I came early to Sunday. I used to come to the second service, and she came first service. And the first service was getting out, so I saw her, and we're just talking, and talking, and talking, and talking, and talking about different things, and talking. And I couldn't even remember her name. So I didn't say her name. I thought her name was Vicky, and her name's Marie. And so I didn't say Vicky, though. you know, I'm just saying, oh, I don't know her name. I just won't say her name. Hey, he goes, oh, yeah, how you doing? You know. And so we talked for a long time, seemed to hit it off and click. And that, you know, but we talked for so long, the second service already starting. They're doing worship and everything. And okay, I got to go. She's got to go. So I went in and I'm worshiping. You know, I'm worshiping God. I'm singing along, not care in the world. And all of a sudden, it's like inside this voice said, you need to call her. And I'm like, what is that? No, come on, I'm worshiping, you know? And it just kept bugging me. This little voice inside, you need to call her. And that's ridiculous. I don't even know her name. And I don't know her phone number. And I don't even know if she has a boyfriend or she's married. It's insane. You know, but that's God sometimes, you know? And it just kept bothering me and bothering me. And I have these lists from the retreat still, when people signed up and stuff. So I went looking through them and I said, well, maybe, Lord, if it's really you, maybe I can find her phone number. I don't know. And then I recognized her name, Marie. Oh, and there's her phone number. But I don't know if that's still her phone number. I said, it's just like the Lord was bugging me, call her, you know? So I said, okay, I'll call her once, you know, and I called her, and she was sleeping. I woke her up because she's a nurse, you know, and she works all night, and she sleeps in the daytime. And she said, hello, and I'm like, oh, I wanted to hang up, you know, but I didn't. This is Mike, and she said, who? You know, the guy you're talking to at church Sunday, blah, 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 you know. I was wondering, maybe if you want to go out to breakfast, you know, next one of these Sundays or whatever, or get together or something, you know. She goes, oh, yeah, okay. Here, let me take down your number and I'll give you a call. Okay, fine. I'm like, okay, well, let's see if she calls, you know. 3 weeks went by and she didn't call. So I said, okay, that obviously wasn't the Lord, just another embarrassing part of my life that I want to leave, you know, forget about it. But there's this, call her. I'm like, no, that's over with. No more chances, you know? And call her one more time, just one more time. I finally said, okay, I'll call one more time, and that's it. That's gonna be it. And so I called her, and this time I got her answering machine. So that made me feel better, you know? I don't have to talk to you again, you know, in case she was blowing me off or something, you know? Can't you get the message yet, guy? I'm not interested, you know? Quit calling me or something. After I thought I was going to have, no, I just said, oh, remember me? You know, I called, you never called back. I was just wondering if you're going to call or get together, whatever, you know, and hung up. And a week went by, no call. So I'm pretty sure, okay, Lord, this is like April Fool or something, you know. I'm not calling her, you know, and she called me. And she said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I've been busy, I've been going to school and stuff, and let's get together for breakfast and stuff. And we had breakfast, and things just clicked together like never before with anybody, you know, that I met in a relationship. Just wonderful. And I knew from that point on, I know that this is you, Lord. I know you do. But I was smart enough not to tell her, you know what, the Lord's going to put us together and we're going to get married. You know, she'd run, hey, another one of those freakos, you know. And I never said anything like that until after we were married, you know, and she couldn't get away. But it was all the Lord who put me there. It was God doing that and seeing I listened to him. I said, I gave him the choice and he chose. And here we are almost 19 years later, still married, you know, so it was the Lord. There's been ups and downs in our marriage, but it was totally God who put us together. And so sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. And then let's look at another scripture here, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. And this kind of gives us a reason of why sometimes the Lord waits to act at the last minute, especially when we really need something. And it says, therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you, for the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So sometimes it says the Lord, he will wait so he can be gracious, so he can be exalted. And what I figured out in my life sometimes is that the Lord waits sometimes and makes us wait. I need it now, I need it now, I need it now. Time's coming, coming, I need it now. And he acts right there at the last minute. So you will know that there isn't anybody else helping you but God himself. God is doing it. Not your friends, not your neighbors, not this. It's God doing this for you. And he will be exalted. And you will see, well, God is really gracious to me and merciful. One of the things that happened in my life one time, when I was living on my own, single, I had an apartment, I had a car insurance payment that came up every February, and I paid the whole thing, usually, for the whole year. And so it was a big payment. I'd save up money in the savings account through work throughout the year to pay for that. And the thing about the savings account was kind of special is that when you wanted to get your money out and put in a request, it took like 3 to 4 weeks to get the money. So I had to put in my request. You know, my insurance would come due February 1st. I'd put in my request back in December. I worked at Hughes at that time, and they shut down for the holidays for 2 weeks. So I had to put it in before the holiday shutdown. And so this one year I did that, I put in my request to get my money, and usually I'd get my money at the end of January and I'd pay my insurance. And the end of January is coming and the insurance is gonna be due, and the check didn't come. But I'm expecting it any day now. So I took my money that I had for rent and I used it to pay my insurance. But now I need that check to pay my rent. And no check. And some people at work knew about it. Did you get that check, you know, and stuff? No, I didn't get it yet. And so I called these people at the credit union and told them, hey, what's the hold up here and that? And they said, let me look into it. And oh, yeah, I put it in. And I go, usually get in general. Oh, no, because of the shutdown and this now, they've added on those 2 weeks. And it won't be until the middle of February. So you get the check. I go, yeah, but I gotta pay my rent. You know, they're gonna kick me out of my apartment if I wait, you know, the middle of February. So well, that's what she goes, that you can't possibly get it before February 15th. It's not possible. That's what she actually told me. It's not possible to get it before February 15th. And I'm like, oh man, and people, what did they say? Well, I told them what they said. And a lot of them were non-believers. They said, well, what are you going to do now? You know, they wanted to see. They knew I was a Christian, teaching Bible. What's a big Christian going to do now, huh? You know, that things aren't going to. I go, well, I'm just going to go home and pray and wait on God. What? Pray? You actually think that's going to work? Oh, man, you know, you're not moving in my apartment because that's what you're going to be doing. You're moving out, you know, and stuff. And so I went home, and I remember that Friday. And I had already wrote the check and gave it to the landlord. And so I'm going home and I'm thinking, I'm going to have to tell the landlord, could you hold off on that check a bit because it's going to bounce, you know? And I had a mail slot in my door where the mail would come in. And I'm hoping against hope. You know, I prayed and prayed that, you know, I'll open the door, maybe that check will be there, you know, on the floor with the other bills and stuff, you know, and I open the door and it's not there. So I you know, I hang my head and I'm remembering, though, I go, the Lord's never failed me before. The Lord's never failed me. He's always helped me, you know, in my time of need. And I know those people, what am I going to tell them Monday, you know? But I went and I told the landlord, could you hold off on that check because I don't have the money right now, my bounce, you know, I'm waiting for this check and it didn't show up. He goes, well, I can hold it for a couple of days, but, you know, you're going to find out the money. And I said, God, man, what am I going to do? So I go home and I had the door open there and I shut the door and there was something stuck under the door. And I look and there's a letter there and I open it up and it's a check from the credit union stuck under the door. the check that was impossible to get for 15 more days is now in my hand. You know, and I know, you know who did that. It's God. It's God, you know. And I came back and ran to the landlord. Hey, you can catch that truck. Everything's fine. God helped me, you know. And she's like, really? And I go, yeah, that's great, you know. And I told the people at work, like, what happened? You know, they're kicking your hat. And I go, no, the check came. But they said it was impossible. Hey, all things are possible with God. You know, and those people are like, ooh, you know. And maybe some of them become believers in that. So God waits sometimes so that he can be exalted in our lives. And we can really see him working in our lives. And sometimes he wants us to hear him so we know where to go or to do. Or he wants just to get our attention sometimes. Let's look at Psalms 143, verse 8. Psalm 143:8. And it says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. So God tells us sometimes, cause me to hear so I can know where to go and what to do. Well, this happened to me one time. I used to go to the gym and work out, and those days are long gone. I'd go out there to the gym and work out when I was younger. And I was working out, and there was this guy. He walked by me a couple of times, and he looked like somebody that I used to know when I was a kid or something. There was just something. Every time he walked by, I'd feel something almost. You know, and I didn't quite know what it was. And later, you know, I was still a young Christian then. I know it was the Lord. And that feeling came from the Lord. So now I'm aware of it. And sometimes when I feel like that, maybe that's the Lord doing something. And I had this feeling. So I told myself, if he walks by me again, Lord, I'm going to talk to him. And he did. And I said, oh, excuse me, is your name Mark? And he goes, no, it's Wayne. And I go, you're not from around here, are you? He goes, no. No, I just moved from Colorado and stuff, and we got to talking, and he was asking me about places around here and stuff. And I go, hey, I go to this church. And he goes, oh, somebody told me about this church, you know, that they wanted me to go to, and I don't know what it was and stuff. I can't. I go, what church was that? And he goes, I can't remember the name of it. I hadn't heard of it. And we were talking some more, and he said, yeah, maybe I'd come to your church, you know. That'd be great and stuff. And he goes, what's the name of your church? And I said, Calvary Chapel of Anaheim. That's the name of the church the other guy told me about, you know? I go, oh, great, you know? And I said, well, here, show up. And, you know, sometimes I met people when I was younger and tell them, yeah, show up and come to church and I'll be there and I'll wait for him. And people wouldn't show up. But the next Sunday, Wayne was there. He showed up. And this guy, he got on fire for the Lord. And he was dragging me. He took the bulletin and went down the list. Oh, Monday, they're doing this. Let's go there. Tuesday, oh, wow, we got to be there for this. And Wednesday, and every day of the week, we were going. He's dragging me Bible studies and these groups and that groups, you know. And that's how I got to know someone. Matter of fact, Pastor Bill, before he was a pastor, had a Bible study on Monday night. And we went to that at his house a long time ago. And that's how I met Pastor Bill. And Wayne was dragging me. But Wayne had these times where he'd go on fire and then he'd come down, you know, and then get on fire and he'd go down. And for 2 years, it was like that. But he finally, you know, for me, I think praying for him and helping him, got his life really on track and was steadily going for God. And he met this girl named Sylvia. And, you know, they were, you know, making googly eyes at each other, you know, and stuff. They just met and stuff. They were going out, and he was going to Magic Mountain this one Saturday. And I was taking a friend to a museum out in L.A. And I was driving to the museum with this friend, you know, in the car, on the freeway, talking, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's the only time I heard an audible voice speak to me, an actual audible voice. And the voice said, Wayne died, but Sylvia's okay. And I said, what? I told him, I said, did you say that? And he said, what? And I go, did you hear that? And he goes, he says, hear what? I go, this voice just said, Wayne died, but Sylvia's okay. And he looked at me and he's like, well, you must be hearing something. Right? So I heard something, you know. I don't know what that was about. I had no clue what that was about. And so I come in, that was a Saturday, and you know, I sleep and you know, I get up, and I wasn't aware that some people were trying to get a hold of me. And I'm coming to church. We were at Barrero. Back then, it was like a junior high school. We used to park way in the back and walk across this field. As I'm walking across this field, the church had just gotten out, and some other people are walking. This one older guy, you know, he's walking towards me, and he comes up, and instead of the normal, hey, how you doing, you know, he says, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, what are you talking about? And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he says, well, you don't know? And I said, no. And he goes, well, Wayne died, but Sylvia's okay. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, Wayne was in an accident with Sylvia when they were coming back from Magic Mountain on the freeway, and he died. And I'm like, whoa, you know? And but it was the Lord telling me he's going to be okay. You know, it was the Lord. He Wayne at that time was 21 years old, and he was all topsy-turvy. He didn't know the Lord before I really met him or was leading a Christian life. And then topsy-turvy, he finally got his act on course. And that's when the Lord said, it's time to come home. You know, you never know by listening to God what kind of journey you're going to get on if you hear him and follow him. It'll be things like that. You'll be glad. I'm not sad that I met Wayne because, you know, I was part of his life for a little bit, you know, and a funny guy, and he's waiting for me in heaven, I know, there. But it's just one of those weird things that happens from time to time. In my life, that happened. You never know the kind of journey you're going to be taken on with God here. Let's look in Acts chapter 28, verse 28. This will be our last scripture, and I'll tell you one more story. Well, I'll tell you two also, because I think this hooks up a little bit with Wayne. But Acts 28:28, it says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Salvation has come, and you will hear it, not only through God's word, but you'll hear it from God himself, because he has sent to say to you, you'll hear it. God wants you to hear it. He wants to come together and reason with you. Now, about Wayne, like he died, another thing that happened, I was very close to a cousin named Mark, and this is before I even came to Calvary Chapel. I didn't know the Lord very good. I was just kind of searching on my own. And he was dying of cancer. He was in the Navy and found out he had colon cancer and cut out part of his colon. They didn't get it in time and it spread throughout his whole body. And we used to play guitars together. But once the cancer spread through his lymphatic system, he got tumors all over in his brain, his liver, and there was one in his socket, his arm, that rode and actually pushed his arm out of the socket. And they could put it back in, but it would just keep pushing it back out. And 3 days before he died. And I tell you, cancer just eat him away. I remember seeing him, And he was like 6 foot three before, and he weighed like about 190 pounds, never sick a day in his life. And now he weighed something like about 130. And the only thing I remember, it looked like he was alive, was his eyes. Everything else looked like it had already died. And he asked me, you know, he was clinging to me. He said, do you really think that we're going to go to heaven? Do you really think that? And see, and I hadn't been to Calvary. I didn't know the Bible that much. But one thing I did know is I said, well, God promised. He said, I remember that much. He said, if you believe, you know, you're saved. And I believe that. And I don't believe God's lying to me. You know, that we're saved. And so that was good enough for him, you know. And he died 3 days later. And I was very sad. And I knew he had a hard life, and he did bad things that he shouldn't have done and stuff. And so I kind of wondered, being a new Christian, did he really go to heaven? Did God really save him? You know, because he did all these bad things. He didn't walk with them a lot of the times and stuff. And I had a dream the night after he died. And I was in like an auditorium. And there was somebody up on the stage sitting on a stool with a hat on. I couldn't see their face, playing guitar, looking down at the guitar. And so I came up to the stage and I said, who is that? Who is that? And I looked, and they looked up, and it was my cousin Mark. And I said, well, you died. And he got this big smile on his face. And he said, no, not really. Not really. So I know that was God's way of telling me, there's your answer. Do you think he got saved? He's home with me, and he's smiling. He's happier than he'd ever been. And he's playing the guitar again, too, by the way. And another person waiting for me up in heaven. So God does speak to us if we take the time to listen and want to listen. Now, to where this will lead you sometimes it's a big journey. You're unexpected, but it's full of surprises. You just never know. Salvation has come to the Gentiles, and they will hear. One last story. This is a big one. I used to go out, another one of those things I don't do anymore, I used to go out jogging at night, you know. I don't do that anymore. And when I was younger and I was single, I was working a swing shift, so I was up at nighttime, but this was a Sunday night. And I just felt, you know, I should go out and go running. And I was doing it more frequently. And the thing, you know, running is just kind of numbing, you know, you're just like, you're thinking about nothing, you know. And so I just think about the Lord and stuff, and things about, I was learning in a church and a Calvary, I was new to Calvary, Anaheim. And I was thinking as I was running, I remember this clearly. You know, Lord, if every person got saved in the world, you could come right now. We could have a big party and everything, and that would be it, you know? And so it was like a voice I heard inside myself saying, well, let's get started then, you know? Like, let's get started in saving some people then, you know, one at a time. And so I was happy, and I remember running about that. Yeah, you know, we get the people saved, and, you know, and maybe someday all this will go on, you know? And I got done with my run, and it was about 11:30 at night or something like that, and I was standing under a tree in the dark, and these people, a taxi cab pulls up in front of my apartment building, these people get out, and they're all drunk and getting out. There's two guys and a girl, and then they start arguing about something, I don't know. And I think they can't see me because I'm in the shadow. And so I just let them argue, whatever. And all of a sudden, the girl walks towards me. She's no, you know, something. She walks towards me. Hey, come back here, you know. And she saw me, I guess, and she said, those guys are bugging me. And so I said, well, I better see what this is about. And I step out of the shadows, and these guys are like, oh, what is this guy doing? And they're so drunk, and one guy says to him, he goes, hey, this is none of your business. And I go, well, she said you guys are bugging her, so it's not my business, you know. He goes, oh, you said that? And he says to his friend, get him, you know. And his friend looks at me and goes, no, he's too big, you know. I go, oh, man, these guys are almost falling down, you know. I go, what's the problem here? What are you guys arguing about? And what they were arguing about is the two guys, the girl wanted to ride home, and the two guys were saying, no, we're too drunk to drive you home. We don't want her. And they were right. And so I said, look, where do you live? She goes, oh, I live, you know, a couple miles that way. I go, well, I'll give you a ride home, you know, if you want. And the guy goes, oh, you would do that? And I go, yeah, okay. And so I had to help these guys up the steps because they couldn't even get up the steps. They're so drunk. And they go and get my keys and we get the car, and she's in the car and tell me where to go. And I remembered when I was running, you know, I was thinking, you know, one person at a time, you know. So I thought, well, maybe I'll try, you know, something, you know, and see. And I go, you know, I've been reading the Bible and studying about God and stuff. She looked at me, oh, really? And I go, yeah. And she goes, well, you know what happened to me? And I go, what? She goes, I've been having these dreams and Satan wants to make me his bride. I go, really? Oh, I don't know about that, you know. As we get driver and I get out to her house and we're talking about the Bible, and I park, and she wants to talk about it some more. So I'm talking, and I had a Bible in my car, and you know, I'm telling her scriptures and reading it through the Roman way and stuff. And I said, would you like to ask Jesus to come in your heart and be saved? And she goes, oh, yes, I would. I go, great. She goes, but can I hold your Bible? And I said, sure. You know, I put it in her hands. As soon as I touched her hands, her face changed. And she turned, she looked at me, and her voice changed. And she said, get that away from me! You know, and she threw the Bible, you know. And I think, come on, you know, this happens in Hollywood movies. I'm thinking she's trying to play a trick on me, trying to scare me, you know. And then she's back normal, oh, you know, blah, 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 you know. She goes, oh, let me hold your Bible. And I'm thinking, is she trying to scare me again? Come on, you know. So I gave her my Bible, and this time her voice really changed. And this time she didn't look the same. She looked like somebody else. And she says, I said, get that away from me. And I said, whoa, this is real, you know. And the hairs in the back of my neck stood up, you know. I was waiting for somebody to jump out and say, this, you're on scare tactics, but that wasn't happening, you know. And panic started from the tip of my toes. I could feel it, panic rising up through my body, you know. You know? And all of a sudden, it's like something touched me on my head. And I felt this peace, and it just started coming down past the panic, past everything. And this girl is sitting there snarling, you know, and I just turned to her and I said, you can't hurt me, I'm a child of God. You know, and stuff. And I'm thinking, what, you know, I'm relatively new. I've only been going to Calvary for about a year. I knew Pastor Mark, and I'm thinking, what should I do? And I remembered, oh, you know, they said they laid hands on him, and they prayed for him. And the demon came out, so I said, I'll give that a shot and see what happens, you know. So I'm kind of, you know, put my hands on her and said, okay, if there's any demons in this girl right now, they have to come out, all of them, right now, in Jesus' name. And as soon as I said Jesus' name, this girl went, biggest scream I ever heard in my life, you know. She just, wow, you know, and stuff. And then she was crying and crying and crying. And then she was able to compose herself. Well, do you still want to give your heart to Jesus Christ? She said, yeah. And she got saved. She accepted Jesus Christ in her life. And she goes, oh, I felt like this big weight was off of me. I had this big weight on my shoulders. What happened? I said, I think you had some demons in you. I just cast them out. And she said, well, did you see where they went? And I said, no, I don't want to see where they went. And it was just past midnight. And I'm sure some neighbors heard this girl screaming, you know, bloody murder. And, of course, called the police. And so a police car pulls up behind me with the lights and everything. And suddenly I'm like, oh, blah, blah, because I don't even know her name. you know? And so I'm thinking at the same time, she could say anything. This guy's putting his hands on me and doing this or whatever, you know? And, you know, I'd be going to jail, you know? And so the policeman comes over there and looking, he's got his hand, his gun, you know, shining the light, what's going on here? And I'm going, you know, and this girl leans over and she goes, I just got saved, you know? And the policeman goes, oh, okay, you know, and he goes back to his car and gets in and drives off, you know? I never got a chance to follow up with that girl. I never saw her again, but I prayed for her. I prayed that God would bring somebody in her eyes, probably another woman, to witness to her and lead her. And I hope to this day this happened, you know, more than like 23 years ago or whatever, that she's a Christian today still, I hope. I don't know that, but we can always pray. But you never know when you hear and listen to the voice of God, what's going to lead you. It leads you into some fantastic things at times, you know? And you should want to hear God and come together and reason with Him. But sometimes you have to wait. So let's go ahead and stand and pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Father, and that you want, Father, to talk to us, each and every one of us, Lord. We want to listen to that still small voice. We want to know your word, Father. Make yourself known to us and what you want to tell us. Help us to be open to that, Lord, and hear our prayers and our requests and answer them. And help us, Lord, to be patient, because sometimes we're not. But Lord, we know that you're gracious to us and that you're patient with us. And Lord, just be all the more gracious and patient with us, Father, and keep changing us from day to day until you take us all to our eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.